And so we want to read a passage of scripture together. All right, don't we stand up together because we want to honor God's word. We want to stand and declare just two simple verses. All right, and this is the key verses for what I'm going to preach today. Are you ready? Let's declare it aloud together. One, two, go. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word. Now, how many of us here have in the last 1 or 2 years done something you have never done before? In other words, you just try and do something in the past you've never done, but you want to give it a go. How many of you have done that in the last 1 to 2 years? You have? Okay, great. I see a few hands up. Now, it depends on what kind of personality you are. If you are the kind of person, you know, who is more apprehensive, I suppose that when you're asked to do something new, you would feel often anxious. You would feel apprehensive. And but for some of us, we jump into anything new. Okay, so it depends on how you're wired, and those who are excited would jump into it and try and really try for it. But there are others, when given something new to do, they get paralyzed. They dare not move. And so it depends on what kind of person you are. I remember last year, my wife and I, together with Pastor Bernard, we were in the United States. And for the very first time, although I have been to the United States for many times now, but last year I decided that before I grow too old, all right, I must drive in the United States because they drive in the wrong side of the road, if you know what I mean, okay? And so it was a very nerve-wracking experience when you have, because you're so worried about ending up in a different lane, you know, an oncoming car. And so I remember the first day of trying to drive here, first hour of trying to drive here, I think I was having cold sweat. Just driving out of the rental car company, and I told my wife, this is the first time I'll allow you to shout at me when I drive, because I could be driving in the wrong lane. And during the first few hours, her constant comment to me was, you are too close to the side, you're too close to the curb, right? Because there's a tendency for us to drift into the other side, because we are not used to driving on the wrong side of the road. And in that sense, you know, this is how I feel right now as I move on into the transition of being a senior pastor. It is like driving on the other side, all right, of the car. And so we are, in that sense, right now in a very historical moment of UMC. This has never happened before. Pastor Daniel has led the church for many, many years now, 20 over years, but as an elder, even 30 over years. So this is the first time in the history of the UMC that there's a major leadership transition, and I am right into it. So I want to make something very clear here. Now, I am still not senior pastor, so don't come up to me and say, senior pastor, I am not at this point. Because I will only be the senior pastor of the UMC on the 8th of May. Everybody say 8th of May. And that's when we will meet in Sunway Convention Center as a whole church again, this time one celebration, okay, in Sunway on the 8th of May, and we're going to meet together, and that's where I'll be commissioned, and that's when you can call me senior pastor. But up until then, I'm still assistant senior pastor. Don't even call me acting senior pastor, because we need to give honor to our senior pastor, Daniel, so that he is still the senior pastor of the church. So let's be very clear about that. And so here I am, all right, offering, you know, myself to the Lord and say, God, I had never driven on that side before. So I'm here now trying to drive on the other side. I've been a pastor for 22 years now. So I'm not new to the pastoral ministry, but I have never, all right, led the whole church. Okay, just hearing God for the whole church. So June last year, 2015, to be very honest with you, it was a very nerve-wracking experience for me, where in June of every year, the senior pastor goes away, all right, and seek the Lord. You see, I have to start 1st January this year, because you can't lead midway. See, you know, when Pastor Daniel retires, and then I come on in May. It doesn't work that way. You have to start from the beginning of the year. So last year was the very first time in my entire life, like driving on the other side of the road, I went away and seek the Lord for the whole church. And this is, let me tell you that very honestly and frankly, a very nerve-wracking experience, because what if God don't speak to me? No, I don't think the problem is whether God speaks to me. What if I don't hear God well? So I believe God speaks to me. But what if I don't hear God well? So it was a very nerve-wracking experience. And someone told me, Pastor, if you really want to hear God, you go to the mountain, go to the sea. Right? Where, the environment allows you, the presence of God. I said, no, I don't work that way. If I go to the mountain or the hill, or I go to the sea, I'll be so distracted. Because there's a tendency for me to go out, to look at the birds, look at the trees, look at nature, or go to the sea. No. I don't think I can do that, right? So I decided that in order to help me, I went to book myself into a hotel room, and I locked myself in there for 3 days. Okay, and so that's what I did in one of the hotel here in KL. I went, booked myself into a hotel room for 3 days. I still remember the first 2 hours of just praying and waiting on God. I said, God, you have to speak. I need to hear you. Because if I come out of the room, got nothing to say to the church, I am in big trouble. So God heard my prayer. Right? And God really hear the cry of this child of God here and say, okay, all right, I will speak to him. And that was a very interesting 3 days that I had, because it was a rediscovery for myself what church is all about. Because I need to ask my question, why am I a senior pastor of UMC when there's someone else who's doing such a great job? And so if I'm stepping in, what is it about leading UMC? What does it mean to be church? What's my role? And so I need to seek the Lord. And while waiting on the first day, the Lord reminded me. It was a conversation between me and God. It was a good experience for me, just that 3 day in itself. The Lord reminded me, Chris, you are the Joshua generation. You see, the new generation of Moses, and Pastor Daniel and senior elders of the church represent, the Moses generation of the UMC. And now come the time for them that they will now pass on the baton or the baton to the Joshua generation, and I represent that Joshua generation. And I'm reminded that even the Joshua generation did not do too well. They were called, I'm reminded also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, where it says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. In other words, if we as a church are the salt and light, and it should not ever be hidden from people. People need to see what's going on, and then Jesus goes on to say that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Meaning that when people look at the church, they praise God. They praise the Father in heaven. That means that the church is doing so many good deeds that the society can't help but see the light, the city on the hill, and that they are the salt of the earth. And so the Lord reminded me that the baton is passed now to the Joshua generation, but the Joshua generation did not do well. In fact, since the Joshua generation, they have gone downhill all the way. I pick up a little bit more, at King David, but then it went down all the way again. And the Lord reminded me, how do you take the baton? How do you run with it? And so that is why, in that room for 3 days, I knelt, I lied down on the bed, all kind of posture to say, God, you need to speak to me. And I came away, to cut the whole long story short, God gave me a passage of scripture. And that passage of scripture is this one here, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. And first part says that, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I have not taken hold of it. Now, that was a very clear voice from the Lord to me to say that, don't think you have arrived. Don't think just because the UMC is a mega church, all right, one of the largest church in the country, and don't think that you can pat yourself on the shoulder and say, yes, we have arrived, let's rest on our laurel, let's remain in a comfort zone. And I think we have every right to do that, but the Lord said, no, don't do that. Don't think that you have taken hold of it. So that was a very clear message of God to me, representing that Joshua generation. Do not take for granted what the Moses generation have imparted. And then he goes on to say, forgetting what is behind, which I'm going to share with you what these phrases mean, straining to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. And so in that sense, the Lord reminded me the three things as I come out of that room is this. Number one, all right, forgetting what is behind and then forging or straining towards what is ahead and then focusing on the call. So forgetting, forging, and focusing. You see, the Word of God just come and minister to me. That is why in our church here, we encourage you to read the Word of God daily. Why? Because you need the Word of God to inspire you, to inform you, and to correct you, all right, and to train you for righteousness. And so we encourage you, for example, to follow our Bible reading plan. So if you have not already downloaded it from the website, you could get this hard copy from our info counter, all right, where we will take you through one whole year of Bible reading. Why is the Bible so important? Because the scripture says that it divides what is truth and what is lies. If you don't read the Bible, you get confused by truth and lies. That is why there are many weak Christians, because they do not know the Word of God. And when something comes along, they're easily tempted, easily fall. Why? Because they cannot divide what's truth and what's lie. And this is one of these moments as I lock myself in the room for 3 days, the Word of God comes alive to me. Why? Because for years now, I've trained myself in the Word of God. And when I need the Word of God, it just comes to me. Why? Because it's part of me. So I want to encourage you this year, if you have not been reading your Bible faithfully, can you make a renewed covenant again with God? Maybe not, don't call it a covenant, a promise to God. Maybe just an effort, all right, to say, I will try to read my Bible every day. Can you do that? All right, for your own sake, not just to do it for the sake of God, really. It's for your sake that you do that. So let me jump now into the first point, the past, all right? Forgetting what is behind. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes we can misunderstand this phrase here, forgetting what is behind. Now, I'm not saying that we forget the contribution of our senior members of the church, all right? Let's not forget that we are where we are today because of them. And when we walk into DUMC every week, weekend, or when we come, whenever we come to Dream Center here, where you know your dreams come alive and shattered dreams can live again. And when we walk in here, I hope we appreciate that every inch of the carpet that you walk on, they are sweat and tears of our members. You know? All right? And every chair that we sit on are the sweat and tears of our members. They are the ones that set this foundation for us. And so let's remember them. Let's not forget them. So this passage, this verse here, forgetting what is bad, is not talking about forgetting about what they have done. It's reminding us not to stay in our comfort zone. Don't rest on our laurels, in other words. So I have high regard for the senior pastor and the senior elder of the church. And nowadays we have to distinguish between senior elders and junior elders, because now there are two groups, you know. Right? So until such a time, we don't have to have this distinguishing category now, but our senior elders are those, you know, who have walked the journey for many, many years, and the new elders have just stepped in the last few months. And so DUMC is celebrating our 36th anniversary this year. Amazing, amazing stories as we look back. You know, DUMC started on 6 January 1980. Wow, many years ago, all right? When I was only, you know, 20 years old, okay? There were 22 adults and 3 young children. That's how DUMC started. And today, in 2016, we have somewhere around 4,500 people with 6 language congregations. And that in itself is amazing. How do you become one church with 6 different languages? The only way we can do that is because we have one Holy Spirit. And one Holy Spirit gave us that unity. And so we have moved 4 times, by the way, in case you're not aware. The reason why we're called Damansara Utama Methodist Church doesn't make sense, because we're in section 13, right? But we are called Damansara Utama Methodist Church because we came from Damansara Utama, so DUMC, right? And so we have moved 4 times. One time in uptown Damansara Utama, just moving from one shop lot to another shop lot, and then we move on to Taman Mayang, and then Sea Park, and then finally Dream Center here in 2007. What a fantastic journey that I've gone through. I was involved in all the moves, all right, every one of them, although I was a latecomer to DUMC, 10 years late, right? But I was involved. I'm still amazed at what God is doing in our midst. Amen? Now, I want to do a quick poll right now. Now, I want everyone, if you don't mind, stand up right now. Every one of you stand up, okay? Everybody stand up, okay? Now, I want to do a poll here right now, okay? Now, those of you who came to DUMC in Dream Center, that means the first time you stepped into DUMC was in Dream Center, right? Clear? You sit down. If you step into DUMC, first time, here in Dream Center, okay? If that's you, you sit down, okay? Now, there's another category. Those of you who joined DUMC in Sea Park Ruby Cinema, okay? If you are in that category, you sit down. Okay? Now, these are the remaining ones from Taman Mayang and before, okay? Now, notice how not that many already, clear? Now, one more category. That means those of you who joined UMC when you were in Dhammansara Utama, you remain standing. That means those of you who did not join UMC in from the beginning in DU, you sit down. Okay, clear? Now, those of you are remaining here, including my wife, they're right in front. All right, we are, you know, the people that came from the original group in Dhammansara Utama, including those upstairs, a few upstairs as well. Now, notice how, thank you very much, you can be seated now. All right. Now, notice how we have grown over the years. And as I look back in that 3 days when I was in that room, I thought back about DUMC. I was so thankful in my heart. What DUMC has left a legacy in my life. And DUMC, if you ask me, one of the clear marks of DUMC, I think every year, all right, we see how God just blesses us. DUMC is a generous church. DUMC is generous in giving. DUMC is a church of faith. We dare trust God for things. And I remember when we were trying to purchase, I was part of the eldership, so I know the process. We were trying to purchase here, the property here in Dream Center. And we look at the land, and we look at how much we have. At that time, we have the ability to fund any property. We only have 1 million cash, just 1 million cash. We were looking at a property of 20 million and developing it, and then you reach up to 40 million. So 1 million over the few, just a few short years, God gave us 40 million. Can you imagine that? That's the kind of generous giving that this church has been known for. And every year, ever since the church started, our anniversary, on every first or second week of our church, we have an anniversary give weekend, where everyone comes, you pray. In fact, we all have the privilege next weekend, all right? Pastor Daniel will come here, have challenged you and shared with you that this year we are looking to God for 5 million. That means everything we collect next weekend, the coming weekend, we're going to give all that away out into the five continents around the world to bless, you know, people for the work of Christians everywhere for the sake of the gospel. That last year, we were aiming for 4.4 million. And God gave us more than 5 last year. And this year, we are looking for 5. All right, if you want to give a clap, give a clap to the Lord. Amen? All right. And this year, we're looking for 5. Now, some people tell me, Pastor, this year, 行情不好, leh. Meaning that translation, economy no good. All right. But in God's economy, there is no 行情不好, there's no economy no good. Why? I've seen it every year. Every year somebody say, economy no good, but it's always exceeded. That is the economy of God. Why? Because God's people in DUMC are generous people. They are big-hearted people. Great time to turn to your neighbor and say, you are a generous person. Right. I'm in the gallery as well. So you come next week, you come next weekend, ready, ask God, Lord, what is it that you want me to give? And I tell you, surprise one another. But how generous God's people are. The other very key event that happened in DUMC over the years was that the Holy Spirit visited us in a very powerful way in 1996. It was because of the visitation of the Holy Spirit that the church took a turn, that we begin to see growth. And I still remember, you know, both my wife and I, we come from very strict evangelical, non-charismatic background. We were all learners. We really have a hunger, but we do not know. You know, we find it hard often to try to understand these things. And I still remember when we were in Dhammansara Utama, when the Holy Spirit visited us, people were falling left, right, and center when they were prayed for. And my wife would walk to the front and watch. Did they actually push them?
Right.
And we were amazed that, you know, the Holy Spirit visited in such a powerful way that people were touched, people were healed, and people were transformed. And that is the legacy that we must continue. All right? It is not a legacy. It is a legacy of Scripture. It's a legacy of the Christian life. And so I concluded two or three weekends ago when I preached on the final sermon of the book of Acts. I say there are three emphases that the church must not forget, which is very much a legacy of DUMC as well. That the three marks, you know, of the church, that we must not forget the emphasis, the non-negotiables, I call it. All right, for those of you from English church, you have heard me say this. But for the rest of the congregation, let me say this to you. There are three things that we must continue to hold emphasis. Number one is the gospel. The church exists for the sake of the gospel. And, you know, during this Christmas period, for example, you know, as far as I know, okay, for the English side, you know, we have something like 40 to 50 people salvation. There are more coming in. The reports have not come in. But those that I know, all right, there are about 40, 50 people have given their life to Jesus. And I just said for Myanmar, 300 over people have given their life to Jesus. All right? 600 over people have given their life to Jesus. And why do we exist as a church? For the sake of the gospel. Everyone say gospel. All right, and then the Holy Spirit is the other thing that we must not forget. It's the Holy Spirit that empower us for the work of ministry. And then undergirding all that is prayer and worship. Prayer is prime, is something so foundational in just enabling us to just pray in the Holy Spirit to do the work of transforming hearts by or through the gospel. And so in that sense, you know, let's not forget that starting tomorrow is a 14-day fast and pray. All right? When I mentioned 14-day fast and pray, 5:30 a.m., many of you already shake your head, 5:30? All right? That is why the Christian life is a discipline. Let me challenge you. Try waking up to come to church on time by 5:30. You will be amazed. There will be going to be a breakthrough in your life. Because now you are learning to overcome this flesh in your life, see? And part of it, the reason why God asks us to fast and pray, I've not even talked about fasting yet, eh? But just coming, all right? Now, for the next 14 days, join us in prayer. Why? Because prayer undergirds everything the church does. So I want to encourage you, 14 days, come, join us in all this. And so, the gospel, Holy Spirit, prayer, and worship is something that we must not take for granted. All right, it is something that I will continue in my leadership to emphasize over and over again. Now, then, come to the present. What does it mean now for us in the present? Straining towards or forging towards what is ahead, straining toward what is ahead of us. Now, the beta now is passed to us as the Joshua generation. Now, let me tell you something very honestly and frankly here. Not that I'm not honest and frank before, but let me tell you something even more frank, right? I've already worked in DMC for 22 years as a pastor. I was an engineer before, gave up that after 8 years, and I came in now for the 22 years, and I still love what I'm doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. I love being a pastor. And but I told the Lord when I hit 50 years old, God, you know, next 5 years, maybe I'll slow down a little bit more, invest time in young people. I love young people, just sitting down with them, you know, help them through life issues. And it's something I really enjoy. And then I told the Lord, then, you know, God, I'll slow down a little bit, let young people come up, you know. And I've always been the second man. I've always been the second man to Pastor Daniel, and I enjoy doing that. I love being the second man. I never had an ambition to be the key person, all right? And so I said, Lord, can or not? The Lord said, cannot. All right? So very clearly 2 years ago, when Pastor Daniel shared with me what he has in mind, you know, I say I need to go home and pray about it, right? Because it spoiled my plan. But, you know, in that sense, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, all right? The next 10 years, all right? Give your life. It's not over yet. And so since then, when that was announced, quite a number of you have come up to me and said this, Pastor, how does it feel to be stepping into the shoes of Pastor Daniel? Many of you ask that question. I don't know how to answer you. Because I know I cannot wear Pastor Daniel's shoe because his shoe size is different from mine. So don't ask me that question because I cannot step into his shoes. So I asked the Lord, so how do I explain it to people in such a way that they understand this transition? So as I thought about it and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I decided to use, this God spoke to me while in USA driving on the wrong side. Use a car illustration. And so nowadays if you ask me, I will tell you this. DOMC is like a car going the same direction. The car has not changed yet. Same car. Same direction. Right? And what's different? The driver is different, right? And this driver, because he's a new driver, learning how to drive on the different side now, okay? Now he has to learn to cope with the new driving style because he has never done this before. And so same car, same direction, vision have not changed. We are still heading that direction. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, in that car, there is a GPS system, global positioning system. And the best part, while driving in the USA, for example, we were driving in Dallas, and Dallas is huge, right? 4 to 6 lane highway, and when it comes to the turn off, it confuses you because there are 4 or 5 turn off into the flyover, okay? And you make one wrong turn, you had it, man, okay? And so it was very confusing. And the best part about driving in the USA with the GPS system is that whenever, and I did a few wrong turns, by the way, whenever I take this wrong turn into another highway, then I hear this sound, rerouting. And that was such a comforting word, rerouting. Because I know the GPS would then take me back again, all right, in another route to the same destination. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, hey, you still have the same GPS, you know. A different driver, but same GPS. So in that sense, you have the same car, same destination, same GPS, but the difference is the driver. Now, will I drive like Pastor Daniel? No, okay? I won't tell you which one is a more risky driver, but it's quite obvious, all right? But we will drive differently. And therefore, you need to recognize that I cannot drive like Pastor Daniel, but I will go the same direction. I have the same GPS system. Can't go wrong, right? And vision, mission remain the same, building God's community and making known His glory. It is the heart of the UMC. Okay? Evangelism, discipleship, community, services, and advocacy is something that we continue to do as part of our mission. It may be tweaked a little here and there, but we are still heading the right direction. Does everybody understand now the analogy? Okay. Now, so Pastor Daniel is not stepping down. I don't like the word step down. Pastor Daniel is stepping out so that he can step up to the role that God is calling him to, and that is an international and national role that he's playing. I see Pastor Daniel as a Christian statesman. Right, his role is something that is very important to the larger body of Christ and to the nation eventually. And I believe that we are really, really blessed by his leadership up to this point. And that is why we want to honor this man. We want to honor him for how God has used him for so many years now. And on the 22nd of May, you heard in an announcement, 22nd of May will be the Thanksgiving dinner. All right, it's now being opened up now to members. We open up to the leaders up to December, but now we have sent all this info to your cell leader, and you can get all this information from your cell leader about how to be part of that Thanksgiving dinner, which you have to pay, huh? All right, no one is paying for you except you. Why? Because you want to appreciate Pastor Daniel, ma? All right? So you need to pay for that. But anyway, there's limited seats, but this is one occasion that we want to come together and say to Pastor Daniel, we appreciate you. Okay? So there'll be more different ways that you can appreciate Pastor Daniel, not just a dinner. So we share more with you as the time goes by. All right? So I'll be stepping in that role with the utmost respect to the legacy Pastor Daniel leaves behind under his leadership. But I'm very clear in my mind right now, very clear, I only have a 10-year runway, and that's it. Because 10 years' time, I retire already. So I'm 55 now, I retire at 65. So God tells me, you have 10 years to run this race and run it well. So my challenge to all of us here is that, will you run 10 years with me? Now, last year's theme, 2015, was this, spread out, think big. Wow, that is prophetic, for me especially. Okay, to spread out, think big, and it was a constant challenge last year. that has now entered into 2016. Just thinking big is not good enough. You must do something about what you think. Right? And that is why the Lord told me that the theme of 2016 will be a follow-through from 2015. As you spread out and think big, you better step up. All right? And this is the year when I believe that many of us will step up to the next level, because I am doing that right now. And so I'm very thankful that as Pastor Daniel stepped out, I stepped in, and I vacate my position, other pastors stepped up. So it's already happening right now in the last many months. Different ones have stepped up to a new role and position, and people are discovering new capacity and new capability. I mentioned earlier on that the new elders that came in, the junior elders, we never had, you know, new ones for a long time. I was the new one. I was a new addition, all right, 10 years or 15 years ago. I can't remember how long that was. 10 years ago, yeah. And then this new set of junior elders that came in, stepped up, all right, and took that position. And so we have different staff that have stepped up as well. And one of my prayer as I step up into this new position 2 years ago was to pray very hard for my wife, you know. I said, Lord, you need to speak to her, because it's not a journey that I do by myself, you see. I said, God, you need to speak to her. I won't even tell her what I want from her. I want you to speak to her. So when she came to tell me, I tell you what, when you become the senior pastor, maybe I'll work one more year, because she's already working in a very senior position in this company for the last 26 years now. And for her to step out from that, she told me, Rob, give me one more year and I'll step out, all right? One more year after you become senior pastor. But sometime last year, beginning of last year, she came to me and said, God spoke. I said, hallelujah. I needed God to speak to her. And she came to me and said, no, I will not wait that 1 year. I will quit right now. So she has stepped out right now. She has resigned from a position which has held for 26 years. Why? So that she can step up to support me as I step up. All right. And I often tell people that the strength of your marriage doesn't show in the first few years of your life, you know. The strength of your marriage will show years down. Whether your marriage is strong or not will be demonstrated through the kind of things you will do in the days to come. And I'm so glad that both my wife and I, we invested in each other for the last 28 years now. And that is a result. That is why in DUMC, my emphasis over and over again, you hear me over and over, is a whole area of family strength. Because family strength empowers. Family strength multiply the effect of your life. And so in that sense, the Lord spoke to her, and I need to sit down with my three sons and say, guys, it's one thing to be the kid to a pastor. We call them PK, pastor's kid. Right? It's a different ballgame altogether to be SPK, you know, senior pastor's kid. Right? So I need to prepare them. I cannot presume that they will be okay with that. So I sat down with the three of them, and that's when mom, you know, my wife had just resigned, and we need to announce to the kids, all right, to say, they're guys, all right, they are now 25, 20, and 18. And I told them, guys, mom just resigned, all right. By mom resigning, it's 70% pay cut for the whole family, 70%, all right. I said, isn't that familiar? Because when I resigned 22 years ago, all right, as an engineer, that was a 70% pay cut too for the whole family. Now it's repeating itself again. And so I said, guys, we're going to have a 70% pay cut in the family, you know? Just to let you know, okay? Not only that, you'll be senior pastor's kid. And then there was silence for 15, 20 seconds, you know? And then my middle son put up his hand, right? Can I say something? He said, yeah. Will my allowance be cut or not? Of course, he was joking. He was just joking, you know? And so I told them, look, God has been so faithful to us in the last 22 years. Don't you think he'll be faithful to us again? We have an absolute certainty that God will provide. That's not even a question we must ask. And so I thank God that my kids have grown up to be, I would say, I was just talking to my wife, they have turned out well, spiritually. They have turned out very well. And so in that sense, you know, and I challenged them too. I said, guys, because I'm stepping in this position, you know, I'm in a bull's eyes, all right, if you know what I mean. And what if, you know, I suffer for what I do? What if I do cell ministry, you know? You know what I mean, cell ministry, okay? Many of you don't get it, it's okay, right? then what happened if I'm detained in any way because of the sake, for the sake of the gospel? Right? And again, there was a 15-second silence. Then the same son again, who said, "Will my allowance be cut?" said, "We'll be proud of you, Dad." You see, it takes a certain measure of maturity for our children to be able to say that. All right? And I'm so glad that in this journey, for me, stepping up was a journey of my children stepping up. That is already happening for my family. And I pray that my desire is that the whole church begin to learn to step up as the Joshua generation that takes on the baton of Baton from the Moses generation. We take it, let's be faithful in the call of God, and let's really run the race well. And that's my present challenge to you. And then let me now move on to the future, focusing on the call that God has for us. And this is one part that in my 3 day in that room, in that hotel room, was the nerve-wracking one. Because I said, "God, you really need to speak to me. What is it for the next 10 years? It's not just 1 year. It has to be the next 10 years. Lord, how do you want us, want me to lead the church for the next 10 years? You know, I was just thinking to myself, if anyone of here ever discovered a cure for cancer, any kind of cancer, all right, one cure for cancer, what would you do with that information? Think about that one. What would you do with that information? And then God reminded me from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, where it says there, why don't we read it aloud together, one, two, go. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." The Lord reminded me that if I were to find a treasure, now let's put it in modern context here today. Let's say in front of your house, there's a field, abandoned field, useless field, nobody wants it, okay? And you go there one day and decided to be an illegal tenant. You decided to dig, hoping to plant some things in there, and as you dig, you discover that there are treasures inside. Treasures more than you can imagine that will last you many lifetimes. Now, if you were that person, I think Jesus is saying here that you, knowing you, you will quickly cover, bury the thing. Don't let anybody know. And then what would you do next? You would now go home, all right, and sell everything you have, everything that you ever own, to buy that piece of land. Why? Because you know of the worth in that land. And your friends around you will be laughing at you. "Why are you doing this, silly fellow?" But the risk that you are taking is far, far more, all right, in this reward than the risk that you're taking. And Jesus is saying that there is this treasure worth selling everything to. Now, what is that treasure? And here, God reminded us too that the greatest treasure as far as God the Father is concerned is His Son, His precious one and only Son. He demonstrated to us that He's willing to give up His greatest treasure for another precious treasure, and that is for the souls of men. God is willing to give up His only Son that people may be saved. That to me, as Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, is actually about the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ for people who do not know Him, because that's salvation or eternal life. And that is the greatest treasure that Jesus is talking about. Now, let me ask you, tell you this, that why is this so important? Because in our lives, everything else will fade away on our deathbed. And when we die, we all become equal in the light of eternity. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of possessions you have. I don't even care what status of life you have, whether you hold this title, that title. At your deathbed, everybody becomes equal. Because you cannot take those things with you. Scripture has said, we bring to the world with nothing. We bring the world nothing. We take out from the world nothing. So what is it that we can take away? The only thing that we can take away are the souls of men and women in life. That's the only thing we can take away. And that is why that is the greatest treasure. And God showed the way by saying that you are so important, that your soul is so important, that I send my son, Jesus, the greatest treasure, my greatest treasure, that you may live. It's so clear in Scripture that everything else fades away in the light of eternity. So let me ask you this question in the light of this parable that Jesus said. What would you die for? What would you die for? Are the things right now that you are dying for worth dying for or not? Let me repeat that question. Are the things that you are dying for right now worth dying for? Because at the deathbed, at your deathbed one day, everybody becomes equal. And that is why one thing I do. What is that one thing? That one thing is being Christ-like and eternity. The souls of men and women. That is why in our church here, we emphasize over and over again the need to share the gospel. Why? Because behind every number is a life. One life. Because the Bible says that when someone comes to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the whole heaven rejoices. And one day I pray that when you go to heaven, ask God this, can you show me the video of angels rejoicing on the day I become a Christian? I want to see that, God. I want to see how happy God is. I want to see how angels in heaven, millions of them rejoicing over my salvation. That's how precious you are to God. And that is why those of us who have tasted the goodness of God, we now must share with those who do not know Jesus. That is why we almost scream and shout about gospel. And so what is that thing that we must remember? Everything, let me emphasize the word, everything we do must have the goal of helping a person to be nearer to Christ. Let's stop playing church. Let's stop making things comfortable for each other. There's one thing we must do that we must not forget is the gospel. That all of us must have a call to be an ambassador for Christ. So stepping up is really stepping up into the gospel. And I pray, this is my prayer for all of us in that room, also praying for 3 days and just listening to God. I pray that all of us here will step up in our spirituality, in our walk with God. We will step up in our homes. If you're a father, you step up as a father, a spiritual father. If you're a mother, you step up as a mother. If you have sons and daughters, you step up as a sons and daughter. And let's step up in our marketplace, in the workplace, our 9-to-5 window. When we work out there, that's your call. And I told you in my last sermon of Acts, I said, I'm so tempted, and I think I'll do it. I'm going to put a sign right at the Kaloa sign there. As all of you walk out, I'm going to put the word mission field. As you walk out, you're actually walking to the mission field. Now, that's your mission field. And in that sense, you know, I pray that you also step up in ministry in church. Some of you are cell leaders, all right, maybe a zone leader. And when you are approached by your pastor and say, will you consider doing this? I pray that you will not say, or join the tribe called the Canaanites. Why Canaanites? Because Canaanites are the people, they're always, when you ask them can or not, they say cannot. So you join that tribe, cannot. Everything is cannot. And I pray that this time when you are asked, you will consider and say, I will step up. Never done this before, but I'll step up. And those of you are students in colleges and schools, that's your call. God has called you there. And so stepping up, I believe that in the years to come will be just that transition of the Joshua generation. We need to step up. Everyone step up. What will the future be like? So that's the nerve-wracking part with God. Say, God, give me a glimpse of what the future is like. And let me share with you this, right? That first of all, 2016 will be a year of major transitions. There'll be things that will change. Okay? And as you look at this curve here, now this in growth studies, this is how any organizations grow. Right? It's an S-curve. And by the time you reach A, the point A, we must recognize that there needs to be a change. If we don't change, all right, it will just go downhill for any organization, including the church. All right? Now, then between A and B, right now, by the way, DUMC is right smack into between A and B right now. Okay, we, in fact, I think we are on the peak. If you don't watch it, we will go down. Right? And so there will be that area, what I call discomfort, because there are changes coming up, including the transition of a new senior pastor. That is very discomforting for some of you. Okay? It will be uncomfortable because you are so comfortable with the previous, with the current leadership, rather, right, that you find it hard to transition to the new one, so there will be discomfort. But let's learn to thrive on the discomfort, to recognize that there needs to be change in order for something to take place. All right? And so if we do that well, we handle transition well, there's no reason why we cannot take in from there and move on to the next level. And I don't just mean numbers. I mean even the quality of our spiritual life, the quality of the life of the church, right? And it, and once the church is healthy, I don't believe that the church will not grow. It will grow once the church is healthy. Now, as we do that, you know, I have a 10-year dream here. And one of the dreams here is this. That, you know, the population of Malaysia right now, 59% of us are under 30 years old. 59%, almost 60% are under 30 years old. And my dream is this. That I don't want to build the church for me because I only got a few more years left. I want to build a church for my children. I want to build a church for my children's children. Right? I want to build a church for my grandchildren because it's not that far away now, actually, you know. Right? I will have grandchildren soon, I hope. And when I have my grandchildren, as I look at my grandchildren, I want to be a godly grandfather to provide them an environment that when they grow up in DUMC, they say, this is the church I want to be in. I don't want them to walk away. My three sons do not know of any other church except DUMC, you know. And they love DUMC. That's the blessing that we have between Stella and I. We love it because our children have served actively as leaders in the church as well. And they loved UMC. In fact, they went to my eldest son got into a mild depression when he went overseas. He cannot find UMC. I told him, don't go and find UMC. Just be a blessing wherever you go. And they loved the church. And I pray that as we build UMC, that the church will be a church for the next generation and the next. All right? And this is my dream here. That as a church grow, it is for our grandchildren. That's how far I look down. And in that sense, you know, we need to adopt a strategy of reaching out to young people. And you're going to see this tech hashtag more and more now. It's the hashtag 20 to 35. Why 20 to 35? Because it's a strategy of focusing on the young people. Why? Because if we don't focus on them and make the church relevant for them, we will lose them. Is already happening in many churches. We thank God that in DUMC, if we don't watch it, we get that way as well. But I thank God today, I see so many young people, but let's not rest on our laurels. In fact, my 10-year dream is that when I finally retire at 65, that's my dream, eh? My dream is to see that at 50% of our leaders, including pastors and cell leader and zone leader, any leader, 50% of them are between 20 to 35. That's my dream. And not only the 50% are between 20 to 35, the other dream I have is that 30% of those people are ladies. And this is something that, you know, I think we need to recognize that ladies play a huge role in the church. And all the ladies say, let's try again. And all the ladies say, yeah, you need to clap. Don't give half clap. Give full clap, all right? In fact, Pastor Cho Yong-Yi of the largest church in Korea said this, my best men are the women. And I think there's truth in that. Not to downplay the role of the men, but I think often we don't play up the role of the women. And so the 2035 strategy is to keep it as young as possible. That's the strategy. Now, every time I say this, okay, thankfully, not so much now. I think people are beginning to get it. But I remember 2 years ago when I shared this strategy of 2035, some older ones, the senior ones, came up to me, okay, and say they misunderstood what I was trying to say. It's good. It's okay because this is the first time sharing this, all right? And 2 years ago, some came up to me and said, Pastor, what about me? Right? And I have to assure them, no, we are not forgetting you. In fact, I think DUMC has invested into the senior ministry more than many other churches. In fact, we have one of the most happening senior group around. Those of you who came for Proclaim, our Watch Night celebration, recognize how happening they are, right? And it's a very happening group. And I tell them, look, we need you. And I told them, now 2 years later, they begin to understand that because last year when I shared it, they came up to me and I finally understood what you're saying. Right? And you said, and I told them why, because you are a gold mine. All the senior people in the 50 and above, I'm a gold mine. I don't know about you, but I'm a gold mine. Because of the years of experience that I have, even the mistakes that I make and the lessons that are gold mine, you know. And we are gold mine. All those, the older ones, like, let me challenge you that this gold mine, you know what's the problem in gold mine? It's not digged. It's always stay hidden as a treasure. And so how do we dig that out? Very simple. Invest your life into younger people. So I tell cell groups, don't hang around all the senior people together, although there are groups that can do that. But those of you, don't just hang around the older people all the time. Go and invest time into the younger people. That's why my wife and I took the decision 3 years ago to lead young adult group. And we successfully, as a 50-over-year-old man, lead young adult group. Why? Because I believe that there's value in those of us who are older. And let's not put silo now into the church. This verse here reminds us that where the psalmist say, even when I'm old and gray like me, okay, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. So our role is to declare the goodness of God through our experience of God and guide them properly. Now, I'm going to preach more about this 3 weeks from now on how do we put that as a strategy for the whole church. So then the last thing that, this was the last question I asked God in my room in the 3 days I was with God. I wanted to keep it as a last question because it frightened me, that question. The question was, I said, Lord, I know I should not even ask you this question. I say, what? Can you just give me an idea how big DUMC will be in 10 years' time? Right? I wanted to know where I'm heading, you see? And I was quite happy if God don't tell me. Right? They say, okay, just run as it is. But the Lord told me a figure and I almost fell out the chair. So I said, say that again, God, you know? And he said, you know, in 10 years' time, it's going to be 15,000. Okay? Now, don't clap yet because you had to be involved. Now, when the Lord says 15,000, I say, really, you're not God, you know? And 15,000, and I say, can it be done? God said, of course cannot. If you try it, it won't work. But with me, it can be done. Right? And the Lord says that in the next 10 years, it will not be a season of asking people to come to church. Now, don't get me wrong, you can still invite people to church. The next 10 years of the life of DUMC is we go. Don't get people to come. You go. And I'm going to share with you further down, sometime this month, what are some of this strategy. And there will be the strategy of satellite churches and church planting. You're going to see satellite churches in the Klang Valley. And some of you here, don't clap, that's why I say don't clap first. You're going to leave the comfort of Dream Center here and move now to a totally new place. So now you can clap. And when we make a call for that, all right, you will say, yes, Pastor, I step up. I don't know when yet. I'm still listening to God about that. But already, one congregation has started that. They are now planting a satellite somewhere in Puchong. Okay? And we're excited because people are catching. One person came up to me and said, Pastor, thank you for sharing what you're sharing. God has spoken to me for the last many months now to start a church among the Tamil-speaking in Klang. Right? And there are English-speaking persons saying that, I want to plant a Tamil church. Okay? And so God is already working in the hearts of many, many people. But let me say this to you. The 15,000 number does not impress me. Let me tell you what impresses me. What impressed me is the 7.7 million people in Klang Valley. 600,000 people in Petaling Jaya, 700,000 people in Subang Jaya, meaning that Subang Jaya is bigger than Petaling Jaya, 750,000 in Klang, 800,000, all right, in Kajang. That's the kind of size we're talking about. People, most of them, do not know Christ. That number impresses me. It impresses and challenges me to say, what is DUMC doing about that? And another thing the Lord showed me was this. Not only are these numbers here that should impress us, are the 2 million documented migrants here, our foreign labor. 2 million of them documented. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands undocumented. But mission now has come to Malaysia. What is DUMC doing about it? These numbers impresses me. And here we have one church with six congregations. We are not six churches. We are one church with six congregations with the power now to reach the Klang Valley. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that Chinese church, members, raise your hands again. Chinese church. My prayer for you, those who are holding up your hand, is this. I pray that one day, the Chinese church is bigger than the English church. All right. Why? Because your market is bigger than the English church. Everywhere you go, you hear young people in the colleges. 8 out of 10 speak Mandarin. Only 2 speak English. You tell me which market is bigger? It's the Chinese church. Right? I'm not putting pressure on you, by the way. All I'm saying is that there's such potential in our congregations that my prayer is that the Chinese church will grow far larger. I pray that one day you meet here. And I pray that one day the Bahasa church will meet here, because there are thousands upon thousands of Bahasa-speaking people. There's no reason why they cannot be even larger than the English-speaking church. There's no reason why the Tamil church cannot grow beyond what it is now, because there are so many, you know, people who need Tamil-speaking people who need Christ. The Myanmarese, thousands of them everywhere. Right, I went to this shop in Section 14 to eat. This Chinese owner is not a Christian. I sat there and I said, hey, this the Myanmarese worker you have in there, they are my church member, no? Oh, yo, your church member, wow, they are very good worker. They are different from the ones that are not Christian. This one, Christian, very good. So I said, then you have to pay me free, you have to pay my noodle. Okay. And so I see that, you know, right now, 600 over during the Christmas period, 600 over them have given their life to Jesus. And I pray thousands of them will be give their life to Jesus so that we can all send them home to Myanmar. So that they can make an impact in Myanmar for the Lord. And we have the Nepali that are here just serving us here. And I pray that the hundreds of them, as they come through this country, they will come to know Jesus. And already we are sending back our Nepali, all right, back to Nepal and ending up as a church planter. It's amazing that this is all happening. And I pray that we want to see cutting-edge mission. We want to see cutting-edge community services. Why? Because that's the way to reach out to the people around us. I got many more in my list. I don't have time to go through all that. But the Lord began to help me realize that, Chris, once you step up, it's not about you. It's about me using the people who step up, and then you all can stand back and watch the wonder. And watch what's happening, because you're willing to step up. So that's my challenge to all of us here. Will you stand at the edge here and jump with me? You know? So often you don't experience a thrill until you jump. I want you to notice that when the father wants to jump, he hesitates, right? The mother hesitated twice because she is jumping with me. You know? But notice how my son jumps. He just jumped. And I pray this is the 20 to the 35 that we're looking at. When you ask them to jump, they jump. The problem is that we will lead them to jump. And the father has to stop jumping first. And so that's my heart's desire, that will you dream with me? Will you dream with me for the next 10 years? I know there are many systems that we need to sort out, but will you dream with me, walk with me, and step up and do something? One more thing I want you to do is that if you turn to the booklet that you have right at the last page, there's something that says your participation. Now, it would really, really encourage us if you were to go to the website, the web link there, click there, and write down what you think God is asking you to step in, up to. Give us an idea. We're not committing you to it. But give us an idea what the Lord is saying so that we are encouraged as a church to say that, wow, you know, our people are really learning how to step forward. And by the way, stepping up, some of you, God is saying to you, He's challenging you for some of you for many years now about full-time ministry. All right? And God may be saying that this may be the time you step up, obey the call of God, trust God, even for provision of finance. And by the way, going full-time does not mean you become a pastor, you become a missionary, or even a social worker of some sort. Stepping up into full-time ministry also means that if you're a professional accountant, we need professional accountant in church, you know. We need professional managers in church. We need professional people with the skills that they have to help the church run in a more professional way, because we need it, because the church is very huge now. We need people with the right skills to make things happen. So I want to encourage you that the call to full-time ministry is not just about being a pastor, a missionary, because every call is an important call, amen? And so I want to encourage you, think about what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now. Just 15 seconds. Just close your eyes for a short while. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Up in the gallery as well. Just think about, what is God saying right now for you? What is He impressing upon your heart?